Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. I want to thank you for joining us. We're now in the springtime. We're not sure whether it's cold spring or warm springs, but it's springtime. So welcome again to hearing our show. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Hare.
Pat Park.
Very good. We're going to start on the international front, and so we got to figure out where we're going with that. There's an awful lot of things going on.
Let's talk about tariffs.
Tariffs. Oh, is that on anybody's mind?
did you see on Hannity last night? He was talking about it, but it came from somewhere else. At any rate, Trump says, don't be a panican.
A panican.
Don't be a panican. Don't join the legacy media running around with your hair on fire going, it's been 2 days and the tariffs haven't worked yet.
Well, and we even have a senator that decided, Tillis decided that he needed to sign on some bill to, I guess, limit the president.
To limit the president.
And, yeah, that'll go until the president vetoes it.
He's going to veto it, but we'll see how many Republicans join the Democrats to try to get his veto overridden.
I think they had like 7 or 8 Republicans that were in that group, the typical
suspects.
You know.
Squishes.
And Susan Collins and Mitch McConnell.
I
wish he would just go leave town, you know.
But
the point is, Tillis, you know, he does this consistently. He will come out and make a big talk about how he wants to resist some of the things that are going on, especially things from Trump. A lot of times he'll back off at some point when it comes to voting, but you know, it's really troubling to have somebody that from a conservative state that's supposed to be representing the people in North Carolina, and he's right against Trump. I mean, this thing about the tariffs is really separating the conservatives from the left, because this is what is coming down to saving this country. At least that's how Trump frames it.
My feeling on all this bit about the tariffs is, would the real Chicken Little please stand up? I'm tired of trying to sort out the cheap fakes. The tariffs are not necessarily about tariffs as much as they are isolating China, and they are the beginning step of bringing manufacturing back to America.
Well, they are, but I'm going to disagree with you about they're not so much about tariffs. What they are about is a total global reset.
Yes.
Because Trump is renegotiating everything with the countries that are coming to him. For example, with Japan, he is negotiating them paying us back for providing their defense. They were paying us billions a year for it, and Biden let them off the hook. So,
as usual.
Yeah. So there's going to be all kinds of things besides just the tariff when they come to negotiate with Trump. And so when you read these articles, the pundits are calling this a total global reset, and I agree. We're sitting in the driver's seat. And Trump, for, you know, God bless him, he is a force of nature.
Well, we've seen situations like with our friend and ally, Australia. We imported, 29 million pounds of beef, and we can't sell one hamburger? Not a hamburger to them. So is that a fair tariff or restriction?
Well, you might as well tell Senator Mark Warner, because he was yelling at Trump's trade guy that was trying to explain to him what is the point of a tariff on Australia when we have a surplus with them.
Yeah, but it's still not just an outright surplus. Yeah.
And the other part with China depends on the American market, and their economy is not necessarily in wonderful shape right now. So right now, there is a trade war between America and China, and numbers are going up. That trade war is not going to last more than 2 weeks, because China's going to feel the pinch.
Well, Walmart's going to hope so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we are the big dog on the block.
Well,
the thing is, like you say, Mayor, if you look at the trade between us and China, we buy, you know, like 4 or 5 times more products from China than they buy from us. So they can't afford for us to step out of the picture or to
stop buying,
block that, because their economy, and like you say, their economy is not only in not good shape. I understand that that President Xi, whatever his name is. Anyway, that he arrested like 40 or 50 of his top military people. And he has a couple hundred more that are under house arrest. And what they think's going on is he's beginning to feel threatened by the loyalty of these people.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be something going on within China itself that may, like you're implying, Mary, that may be not only economically, because there's a lot of unemployment there in China right now. Housing and real estate prices are extremely high, so there's a lot of dissatisfaction amongst the people. So it's, you know, it's a disturbing time for them, and I hope that this puts the pressure on them to get, you know, reasonable in their dealings with us, which I doubt.
I was going to call my friend this morning and tell her, if there's anything at Walmart you want, go get it now before before the 84%
tariff.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going back a number of years. I couldn't justify this right now, but I remember when we were dealing with Japan and there were certain trade wars there, that if we sent agricultural products over there, the ship might arrive, but they would take weeks trying to inspect the ship. By that time, all of the product had gone bad. And that was a hidden war going on with our products. I'm not sure how that's worked out right now.
Well, it's interesting how, as I look back on this issue, I remember my mother, and this was later in her life, she was very adamant about only buying American products. And this was like 35, 40, 45 years ago. That was her attitude. Her attitude, of course, she came up through the Depression, lived through World War II, and so on. But if we went to a store, that she would look, where is it made? If it wasn't made in the U.S. And at that time, it wasn't China that we were competing with, it was Japan.
Mm-hmm.
We were getting, like you said, a lot of stuff from Japan.
But
it's just interesting that she had that attitude of America first, and based on her life, how she had lived and as a patriotic American, and now we're seeing that now, and that's really what it's going to come down to.
Well, I remember as a kid, my dad was in the textile industry, and I remember him saying something in the 80s, about if you went to a textile convention and you had on a shirt made in Japan, they would throw you out because they were trying to protect the textile industry in America. And we lost that industry. I mean, first it went from New England to the South, and then it went to Japan.
Yeah. A friend of mine, when I mentioned the tariffs to her, she said, well, everything's going to cost more. I said, not American goods, just imported goods. And she was surprised. There's a lot of misapprehension about the tariffs.
And there's also the amount of money that the tariffs are bringing into the U.S. Treasury. Because evidently, since the tariffs have been in place, and there were some that were put in before the big announcement, some serious money has come into our Treasury with the idea of offsetting any supposed cost of tax cuts. Now, some of us understand that tax cuts generally generate revenue rather than limit it, the Laffer curve.
And Laffer's online with the tariffs.
Yeah, he would be.
He is.
And
I saw that this morning.
You know, but if you are someone who believes that cutting taxes costs money, the tariffs are going to make up for any of that.
Yeah, I read an article yesterday that says, why do politicians say tax cuts have to be paid for? Yeah. And they made fun of that whole thing.
And I think we had said it, not last week's show, but somewhere in the middle, that Walmart and what's the other?
Target.
They've gone to China and said, we are not paying that tariff. You're just going to reduce the costs of your product to us. And
that was before it went up
before
to 104%. It said 84, but China's is 84 on us, and ours is 104 on them.
On them, yes.
And so we'll see.
We'll see what happens, because, again, if they're not going to pay it, then they can't produce the stuff, or we're not going to buy it, and we'll learn to live without it.
See, and the thing, too, I think we all have to recognize is that this country is in terrible financial condition with the national debt. And if you look at the reality of it, of what we're facing, we have to do something. And it has to be something dramatic. Now, the Democrats come out and they're all against the tariffs and they're all making fun of Trump and accusing him of destroying. But the thing is, I don't see anybody else with a plan.
Yeah. No.
I don't see Tillis coming out with any bill that he introduced with some plan to address this issue. Some of these politicians, all they're worried about is getting reelected. Where Trump, his view is, what can I do to save this country from the disaster that we're heading towards? Well, but nobody else has I don't see any other plan on the table.
No,
Barry,
not like,
it's Barry not like. Barry made a point that the tariffs are bringing in revenue. They're bringing in, according to Trump, $2 billion a day. Mm. Well, that's almost the $3 billion that we need to pay our interest on our debt is $3 billion a day.
Yeah.
And again, I think one of the Democrat positions is just print more money as if, you know, raise our credit.
The end's never going to come.
Raise our credit card ceiling. Yep. That's all. Yeah.
Yeah, and that doesn't work. At some point, you reach a point where, I mean, the interest on the debt, as you said, is outrageous. And if we can get that down, that helps too. That,
you know, those five $5 million citizen cards that are taking place of the gold ones, taking place of the green cards. They've already sold 1,000.
Oh, that's $5 million.
Yeah,
really?
That's amazing. And they said, you know, if we sold this many, we could pay the debt off entirely.
Well, I think that is the goal of Doge, is to get the national debt, bring the deficit down, and get us to a balanced budget, which would be very nice, without increasing taxes.
Well, Congress hasn't done its job. It's supposed to do a budget every year, and we've been living on CRs for years and years.
Since 2008.
And that's not the way the system is designed to operate.
That's not the running rules. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back. And again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Mary, you said you wanted to go off to gas and oil.
One part of President Trump's policy is to help America again become energy independent. Now, he's released coal. We're going to be mining for coal again. West Virginia is very happy about that. And he's also set up drilling on Anwar. And if you've ever seen the pictures of Anwar, it is about as desolate as you can get. We're not in danger of ruining something there. And I'm watching the crude oil futures as we speak. We're recording this on Wednesday.
He's restarted construction on the pipeline. What was the name of the pipeline?
Keystone. And the oil prices they went down April 8th. They went down to like, I would say 55, 56. And they're right now at 62. Now, Russia needs oil prices at 70 in order to have a healthy economy and finance the war in Ukraine. They seem to be holding pretty much at 61, 62. That will, in the near future, impact the Russian ruble, impact the Russian domestic economy, and impact Russian foreign policy. So that's something to keep an eye on. And as America comes online, because oil is a worldwide traded commodity, we may see the price drop. The unknown here is if OPEC decides to drop their production in order to keep the price artificially high, but then America can produce more, and we make more money, and OPEC makes less. So they might not want to do that, but oil is a very important part of the world peace and the world diplomacy, essentially, because some of us are old enough to remember the 1970s when OPEC decided that they didn't like us anymore and we had gas lines and other such fun. And if we are energy independent, we don't have to worry about who likes us and who doesn't.
I remember that. You could only, depending on the last number of your license plate, you even or odd.
Different days of the week.
Yeah, different days of the week
you
could buy gas.
And maximum amount of gas that you could buy also.
And remember,
I had a Triumph Spitfire, so I wasn't in danger of buying more gas.
And that was when gas went from 35, 40 cents a gallon over $2. And admittedly, it has come down on occasion, but we've not seen 50 cents a gallon gas.
Sorry,
since
folks,
the
70s. I grew up with 15 cents a gallon gas.
Well, I had 20 cents a gallon gas.
My first car was an old Volkswagen and with an oil leak. So I got it the summer after high school. So for that summer, I didn't have a job because I only looked like I was 12 years old. Nobody would hire me. And so I just drove around in my VW all day. And so I had a dollar. So I would get a can of oil and the rest in gas and drive that car all day long.
By the way, while we're on energy or gas and oil, the other thing that was amazing in the last few weeks, apparently the number of foreign companies that are giving up on the windmills offshore United States. that apparently there's a bunch of the permits that are being withdrawn and another bunch of energy, quote, producers that have withdrawn because apparently what, lightning hit?
There was a lightning strike on one of the windmill farms, on one of the windmills off New England. And after the fact that they had the blade break and the fiberglass fibers show up in the shellfish, the lightning strike did not help their image. And we're pretty much, I believe, going to see wind energy offshore abandoned.
Good.
I don't know whether we'll see it abandoned onshore or not.
I wish we'd abandoned it everywhere. It's an eyesore.
It's an eyesore, and it's not really practical.
Okay.
When
now,
you consider the life of the blades, the what goes into the batteries, it is not environmentally sane, and when you consider what happens to bald eagles when they fly by.
Now, who wants to play the Ukraine card or the Iran card?
All right, I'll endeavor
to
look into that. Yeah, well, it's boring. It's true, but you know, it's disappointing. I think you know, Trump initially was really pushing Ukraine and Russia to come to a ceasefire, and then hopefully some stabilized situation. And it appears as though Putin is the one who, although he's I think some of his staff have been meeting with some of our officials, but it appears as though he's preparing for a major spring offensive. And the military people in this country are saying that he's waiting for the spring dry out. In other words, it's real muddy now because of the rain and everything left over from the winter. And they reported, I heard the other day, they observed there were like 450 trucks, and he just called up 160,000 more reservists to put into the battle. There was also an interesting thing. The Ukrainians arrested two Chinese soldiers the other day. Now, whether they're any part of a Chinese effort to assist them, or whether they just happen to be Chinese mercenaries coming to fight for Russia, I don't know. But the point is that it looks like there's a spring offensive around the corner, and that Russia's going to try, it appears to me, to do a maximum offensive, gain as much territory as they can, and then if they have to call a ceasefire, then they're going to be in a position more favorable to where they want to be. I think that's what's going on.
This also apparently was the tactic taken when they, going back way, way, way back, Stalin era, when they invaded Finland. That they invaded Finland, took as much territory as they could, and then said, okay,
yes,
we'll stop now.
Yeah, and that sounds like the strategy coming up. And
so the more things change, the more they remain the same.
Yeah. And it shows you that the sad part about it is that you look back historically, these dictators who start these wars, they have very little, if any, concern for the deaths that they cause, not only of the enemy and innocent civilians, but their own troops. They're just people, they just put them into the meat grinder, and that's what's happening here. He's calling up more troops to put into a hopeless situation.
Now, what are we doing with Iran?
I don't know, to be frank, because Iran is not going to give up their nuclear program just because somebody asked them to. And they're not going to give it up just because we've got our bombers sitting over in Diego Garcia.
But I do know, well, again, listening to the news or whatever else, apparently we have, quote, high-level talks going on between us and them. I don't know what high-level talks mean.
Well, it means the level of bureaucrat that's over there.
Okay. And do they have any actual power? And
no.
The answer is no.
My understanding was that we announced that we were going to have direct talks with Iran, and I think they're supposed to start this Saturday. And Iran corrected that and came back and said, no, we're having indirect talks, which gets down to how serious are they, and they're going to send anybody that actually has the authority to do anything. They're downplaying it already. And I agree with you 100%, Pat. Iran is not going to, the Ayatollah and the people who run Iran now, they're not going to stop till they get nuclear weapons. Now, the people, I'm sure there's a subset of the people in Iran that would like to see this stop, and maybe at some point they will overthrow this regime. I really believe that this is an opportunity that Israel and we, the United States, have to take to actually take out the Iranian capability for continuing to develop these they're developing. And I think it's time to take them out. And my understanding is about 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, after Iran launched an attack on Israel, that Israel attacked them and then or responded by taking out a lot of their missile defense system.
And in Syria, was it in Syria also that they took out?
I believe it was in Syria, but in Iran, the from what I understand, this is going to, because that's been done, our ability to attack those uranium producing sites is much going to be much easier. This is the if ever we're going to stop them, this is the time to do it. It appears to me.
So that's again, that's the umbrella that we have that would give us a little bit of coverage to say we need to stop their development now.
It's interesting, and my memory may be not perfect on this. Wasn't it Israel who stopped Iraq's nuclear program?
They bombed their plant.
Now, Iran is a little smarter, and theirs are really underground.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems that I have read recently that we have been sending our Moab weapons over to Israel. So that would be the weapon of choice. Plus, we've stationed some specialty planes. I'm not an airplane person at all. Over at
our
Diego.
Bombers.
They go zoom zoom.
Yeah, over at Diego Garcia.
Vroom vroom.
Yeah, I think they're stationing these B-52 bombers, which have the capability of delivering these
bunker busters
that are capable of destroying things that are underground, and that's what's really going to have to be done. I don't know whether Israel has the capability of delivering those things without our assistance.
Yeah, as long as we know the sites, and that's
which their intelligence, I have confidence that Israel knows exactly where these sites are.
Now we're coming up on a break, but one other crazy thing: Trump eliminated the Houthis.
Houthis and the blowfish?
Yeah, now it's just the blowfish. Okay. Apparently, there was a meeting of apparently 70 Houthi, whatever else, and then the one instructor in the middle, and all of a sudden, they're gone.
Poof.
And so we're trying to eliminate offensive forces just about everywhere.
Well, what did they think was going to happen when they were shooting at traffic going through the strait?
And everybody's ships, yeah.
Why did it take so long? I mean, if Biden had been worth his salt, he would have solved that problem the minute it started.
Yeah. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. A large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pawn will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pawn. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pawn, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back, and again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Mary, you are going to take us in a totally different direction.
Yes, inspired by the Game of Thrones, a company called Colossal Biosciences has created the dire wolf, which went extinct 10,000 years ago, and they've done it through using gray wolves and genetic engineering, et cetera, et cetera. I do not understand the purpose of this. One of the major funders is the CIA. And the description of these wolves is that they have a super thick tail, fur. Their tail is a little longer. They're taller. Right now, they're puppies. They're 66 months old. They weigh 80 pounds. A typical wolf is somewhere between 75 and 100 pounds, and these guys will probably top out at 140, and they are significantly more muscular.
And they're white fur?
They have white fur. They are beautiful. And this company wants to work on also reviving the woolly mammoth, the dodo, and the Tasmanian tiger. And my comment to these people is, didn't you see Jurassic Park? I just think this is crazy. Don't mess with Mother Nature.
Well, you know, with all the hoo-ha throughout the country with farmers about the push to protect the gray wolf, and it preys on the farmer's stock, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have had a battle ongoing between farmers and environmentalists. What are they going to do with the dire wolves? We don't need to introduce another
larger, more vicious
predator.
Now, explain to me, Mary, and maybe to the listeners, how did this process work? I mean, how did we get from some extinct species to having something that's related to that extinct species? Can you explain that?
Well, I can attempt to.
Where did they get the dire wolf DNA?
Well, they said they call themselves a de-extinction company. And what they did was they found a single tooth and skull that had enough useful DNA to be able to alter gray wolf DNA to recreate the ancient dire wolf line using something called CRISPR technology.
But how did they know that that tooth came from a dire wolf? Who was there?
Well, that's a good question. But evidently it was attached to the skull, and they identified the tooth in the skull. And then they started looking at the what they call the genetic divergence in terms of the DNA. And then they engineered it. And
They took the DNA from this extinct wolf,
yes,
and they somehow process that so it could be incorporated into an existing wolf species, the
gray
wolf. Modifying the gray wolf's DNA so that now it becomes this extinct species.
Yes.
At least in some fetal, something related to that, or some embryo of this. Yeah.
And I have read, now again, they're talking about the woolly mammoth, that when they do the woolly mammoth, and they are, for whatever reason, serious about this, that they will work with an elephant, because evidently a woolly mammoth has certain DNA things in common with an elephant. To me, this is an example of too much knowledge and not enough ethics. We're wandering into places that we just have no business wandering.
I agree with that.
And again, my comment is, didn't you see Jurassic Park?
Well, if you stand real still, the raptors can't see you.
Well, you know.
And I'm thinking, you know, just as a thought, if I think, to me, a Tyrannosaurus rex is a fascinating animal, how big, how small would you have to make a Tyrannosaurus rex before it wasn't a threat to anyone?
Well, smaller than an elephant.
Smaller than a mouse, I would think. I mean, again, we're venturing into things we don't know what we're doing.
I don't know. Mice have hantavirus, and that will kill you.
That will kill them.
Well, that killed Gene Hackman's wife.
And, these species that went extinct may have some residual toxic or deadly sort of
viruses
that come along with, as you bring them back to life, there may be some of those things that, again, that we can't control. But, you know, this advance in technology is so accelerated. It's like this AI. I heard the other day that there was people who were applying for jobs, and they were using AI for Zoom interviews. In other words, if you're an employer, you get the information about somebody that wants to work for you, and then you interview them on a Zoom call or some Zoom connection. And some people are using AI to represent them. I mean, so the employer is interviewing this supposed potential employee, and it turns out it's an artificial intelligence person. It's not even the person themselves.
It's
just really getting scary and out of control.
I was reading an article even this morning, computer geek type thing, about programming and just regular operating system, because an operating system in a computer, you give it a number and it's supposed to come out with a definite answer. You give it a decision point, it's supposed to make the decision based on the if statement or whatever else. If, then do something, otherwise do something else. They're trying to apply artificial intelligence to that decision making in standardized operating system programs. So in other words, the program is no longer going to be objective, it's going to be subjective, however the AI interprets it. That's scary to me, because, you know, you're flying, we looked at the self-driving cars now, when the self-driving cars that Musk originally came out with, well, you're out in the middle of the Southwest or whatever else, stop sign means, okay, slow down to 10 or 15 miles an hour. And that was the way that it was programmed. Don't go to stop. Do what everybody else does in that neighborhood.
And then what if the AI begins making decisions about decisions about whether you want to stop at all?
Then that's right.
An AI might decide, well, I'm going to go kill as many human beings as I can. I'm going to cause as many crashes as I want. When it's kind of like getting to the point where would the AI have willpower? In other words, it's one thing to have something you program that does exactly what you want them to do, but is it, or can it get to the point where the AI, it's like that movie, 2001, where that computer intelligence
I can't do that.
It started making decisions about
open the door,
Hal. Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking the other day about, I'm sorry, Dave, I can't do that. And we're approaching that.
Yeah.
So this is crazy. And again, this is partially funded at least,
so
by
the
CIA.
It puts the power in the hands of the people that are programming the AI. I mean, Google ran its searches with AI, and if you ask it to generate pictures of historical characters, they were all black.
They were all black because that was the way.
That was the way they programmed it, you know.
Or you look at the Facebook fact checkers. They never fact check half of the political spectrum.
Well, I don't know if that had anything to do with AI, but. My point being that, Stalin said it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes. Well, in this case, it doesn't matter whether it's AI, it's who programs the AI.
Yes.
And there's so many people who get their information now off the internet and off these search engines. It's not like people go back to encyclopedias or go back to the library. They just go, and then, like you say, Pat, it can be programmed that they give you the information that they want you to believe. And you don't know that what's true and what's not true anymore. How do you know?
Well, Google messes with their search algorithms all the time. If it's some news that it's generally conservative news that they want to suppress, when you run a Google search for it, it won't show up until like page 6 of the search results. So it doesn't show up first.
Yeah.
And how many people shuffle to the page 6?
Yeah, yeah,
nobody. You just look at the first page.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah, we always want an instant answer. It's got to be on the first page.
Right.
And the first page is always right.
Right.
Yes, so you think. Yeah. So we're going to take a secret vote here. We don't want any more of these wolves. You know, you look at the Northwest Yellowstone, was it? Yellowstone,
yeah.
What they did was they had eliminated the wolves from Yellowstone. And all of a sudden, the deer population took over and moose, I guess, and deer population took over. And they ate up all of the vegetation. So it became a new desert. When they reintroduced the wolves to take care of some of the deer population, all of a sudden the fauna started to come back. So we're messing with natural balance, nature's balance.
Yeah, we think we're so smart that we can...
That we can override nature.
Yes, and we can't.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about the IRS. It's only natural after you talk about wolves.
Predators.
The Homeland Security has now secured an agreement with IRS that IRS will give them the location information for 7 million illegal aliens who are paying taxes. And this has caused instability at the agency. When Trump was inaugurated, the day of inauguration, the head of the IRS resigned. The next guy resigned when they first started talking about this agreement. Now, the lady that was the second acting IRS commissioner, she just resigned rather than sign this agreement. So the Commerce Secretary had to sign it. They couldn't find anybody at IRS that would sign it. I personally think that it's a good thing. I want them to find the 1.3 million illegals that are getting Medicaid. I want them to find the 5 million illegals that have illegal Social Security numbers, and I want them to find the 7 million that are paying taxes. And the fact that they're paying taxes, so what? They don't belong here.
And whoever gave the IRS the authority to go ahead and protect people who are here illegally from potential legal consequences, because that's basically what they were doing, right? They were protecting their identity so they couldn't be tracked down. And so they were way out of line, and so the fact that they're resigning is wonderful.
You know, we've even mentioned apparently the only IRS form that was really ever let loose was Trump's IRS form. So
yeah, that was sent out to everybody in the country who wanted to have access to.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. Thank you.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, just people in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening and to our sponsors and supporters. Pat, you wanted to take us in another direction.
Yeah, I want to talk about the menace of malicious compliance in our military. When President Trump said no more DEI in the military, Pete Hegseth said no more DEI in the military. If you had seen any of the training videos, particularly from the Navy, on how to use people's pronouns and how to call people so that you don't upset any drag queens. They also had recruiting videos with drag queens who were on active duty in the Navy, which to me is a horror, okay? When they said no more DEI, the DEI ticks, the people that are dug in on DEI, started complying with something that we call malicious compliance, where they said, okay, from now on, we're not going to teach about the Tuskegee Airmen in the Air Force training school.
Yeah, we've got to eliminate
because they're
that.
Black. Therefore, DEI.
Take it out. And Harriet Tubman gets removed from everything, too.
Yeah, and so the press then jumps on that and says, see, Trump is a big racist because we can't talk about the Tuskegee Airmen. Pete Hegseth gets ahead of it and says, put the Tuskegee Airmen back in because they're part of history. This is not, they're not DEI hires. They're part of the vaunted history of the Air Force. So we have something, if you remember, Obama engaged in malicious compliance when there was a government shutdown and they went and shut down the World War II Memorial.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember that? In the national parks?
You couldn't even walk by that. You couldn't even look at Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. Well, this is the kind of thing this article says. These elements across the U.S. military are playing what we Marines refer to as rhymes with cluck-cluck games. The instrument being employed to warp the intention and public perception of sec death in the Trump administration is malicious compliance. One of the things that I read about this morning is the vice admiral who was in charge of the NATO committee who refused to hang the portrait of the sec death, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, and the commander-in-chief, Donald Trump, and said she was going to wait him out for 4 years. And she was fired. She had an all-hands-on-deck commander's call to tell her troops, we're going to wait them out.
Yeah.
That is gross insubordination. They should be court-martialing her. All they did was fire her. The article doesn't say what happened to her next, where she's going, or what, you know, if she's being forced to retire or what.
Retire, reduction in rank.
She should be court-martialed. Getting rid of this DEI, getting rid of malicious compliance, it's difficult to do, but it's something that has to be done. So I wanted to mention that. I always pay attention to the military stuff.
There, and, you know, there are, like you say, Pat, the DEI, there's a lot of resistance out there about people who are trying to keep it going, even though they changed the name of it and so on. But there was some good news this week with the Supreme Court decisions. There were a couple of Supreme Court decisions.
Yeah,
that primary one had to do with this. What was it? The Alien.
The Alien Enemies Act. Yes,
the 17 something or 89 or
the Supreme Court. Okay, now Judge Boasberg was the one hearing that, and he's the one that said turn the plane around. Yeah. He was the one that said, okay, now I'm considering contempt proceedings against the DOJ, where conceivably he could put somebody in jail for not bringing anybody back. The Supreme Court put a spoke in Judge Boasberg's wheel and said that he didn't have venue. The Tren de Agua members that were flown out were in Texas, and he was in D.C. So no venue. Venue is location. Jurisdiction is power. So they didn't say no jurisdiction. They said no venue. Well, now the DOJ is researching whether or not he can still do contempt against the DOJ, even though he lost part of the decision. And they're looking to see whether or not they can stop his contempt proceedings on the basis of venue instead of jurisdiction. So it's still hanging about. There's still little tendrils here and there. But the Supreme Court said, yeah, Trump can use the Alien Enemies Act, but the catch is each one of them is entitled to a due process hearing.
You know, that another, quote, oddity is apparently this judge, a rotation basis? They pick the seats. Somehow he has rotated to pick every case that goes directly against Trump.
Oh, it's worse than that. This case was filed at 1:30 in the morning on a Saturday. He was on vacation out of town in his vacation clothes, and he called in and told the clerk to ignore the random assignment procedure and give him the case.
Yeah.
Well, evidently he has some family connections that are tied to defending illegal
his daughter
aliens that make a lot of money defending illegal aliens. I don't understand. If someone is here illegally, they've broken the law, they're not American citizens, why are they entitled to the rights of American citizens? That doesn't make sense to me.
And they shouldn't be. I mean, otherwise, what's the point in being a citizen? If an alien that can sneak over the border gets the same rights as citizens, what's the whole purpose of citizenship? The whole thing is absurd. When Eisenhower deported the 3 million people in the 1950s, he didn't have to give them individual hearings. He just identified them, and they came illegally, and they were deported. And that's what should happen now. And we shouldn't just be deporting criminals. They're criminals if they came over illegally. Anybody illegally should be deported. What we should be able to do is verify that they did not come in legally, and they should be deported. But what was troubling about the Supreme Court decision, the positive part was the Supreme Court 5-4 overrode this Judge
Boasberg.
So that was a good thing. What's disturbing was it should have been 9-0. Should have been 9-0. They should not have been that close. And then you have, once again, that is Amy Coney Barrett, who was appointed by Trump. It seems like more and more of the decision, she winds up supporting the leftists or the people up there that were appointed by Obama and Biden.
She and Roberts both are squishy.
Yeah, but she's getting squishier. She's aligning herself. I don't know whether her thinking is distorted, and she's whether some people think it's because of the threats on Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
She's afraid of her for her own personal
no.
safety, whatever.
No, the analysis of her opinions is that she's a real procedural nut. So if there's a procedure basis, she doesn't think it's ripe for final decision.
Well, but it's really scary when you get something that close, when it should be so obvious that it was, that Boasberg was way out of line, and the president has the authority to deport these people.
Oh, the Democrats want to raise the federal minimum wage to $17 an hour.
Well, when California raised their fast food workers to $20 an hour, a lot of fast food places went out of business.
I read today Dairy Queen is closing businesses.
Now wait a minute. $17 an hour?
Federal.
Now, okay. Who's this representative from Texas? The
Jasmine Crockett?
Yeah. Now, she said, we need the illegals to come in because we won't pick it anymore.
We won't pick cotton.
Yeah, we won't pick cotton. So therefore, we need the illegals that don't earn that minimum wage because it's all under the table.
Well, it's not all under the table. The farmers are regulated on what they have to pay them and give them housing. And
document what they're doing.
Yeah, and document what they're doing.
And you could have a process where, you know, you could bring people in for picking season or sort of harvest season.
There is one, Alan.
There
yes.
is, yeah. And just monitor it and make sure that they go back. I mean, that's what we, you know. That, but
The other aspect of the whole illegal alien thing is that a large percentage of them are sending any money they make back to where they came from, to their families. So they're taking advantage of American resources without actually adding to the economy.
That's right, because the money doesn't circulate in the U.S.
Now, we've only got a couple of minutes to go, but I know we want to go the bill that our Senator Bob Brinson filed.
Yes.
That bill has passed the Senate, and it's a bill to try to prevent Chinese or foreigners from
buying.
Yes,
this is a story that was in the Carolina Journal on April 9th. And the North Carolina Senate Agriculture, Energy, and Environmental Committee has approved a bill prohibiting foreign acquisition of land by adversarial nations. The bill is sponsored by Bob Brinson, Tom Moffitt from Henderson County, and Bobby Hannig from Currituck. The key purpose of the bill is to safeguard agriculture, but it is also an incredible coincidence that many of this farmland bought by China just happens to be next to many of our strategic military bases. And that's really what they want to stop. Now, the way that they're doing it, because there was concern about Smithfield, but they're saying that any company that already has land holdings will have to be registered. Additional land acquisition will be prohibited, and they will work it out, I think, on an individual basis.
Well, I have trouble with the whole idea of these other countries buying and owning our land anywhere. I mean, to say it's only going to be a prohibition against adversarial, well, that sounds all well and good, but who's going to define who's adversarial?
That's
and the other
true.
Thing is, somebody might not be adversarial today. They might buy up a lot of our land and so on, and, you know, 2 years from now, they are adversarial to us. And
well,
it's too late. They already have the land. I just question why we have to go down this road of letting these foreign entities, affiliated with these foreign countries, buy up our country. I don't understand it.
Well, not only China's buying our farmland, and they're also buying our food companies. If
yeah.
this keeps up, we're going to have trouble feeding ourselves.
Yep, I agree. It's just...
Now, the other things that we wanted to just sneak in was the stock market and our job numbers. And
The Dow is surging. It's going up right now.
Is there a reason?
Whipsawing.
Well, yeah, it's good.
Just going up because it's not going down. It's got to be one or the other.
This is like riding that bull riding machine.
Well, I bought Tesla stock just to help Mr. Musk, and I know you're not supposed to, but every morning I check mine to see if it's up or down, because I'm hoping his goes up, 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 up.
Well, and, it's up 7% so far today.
Yeah, it's up today.
The market?
Almost 8%.
The market or Tesla?
The market.
Tesla was up.
The market's up at 40,006 as of right now on Wednesday.
It was down yesterday.
Hang on, folks. Hang on.
Yeehaw!
We're going for quite a ride. Folks, we're about at the end of the show now. Again, thank you for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call. You have a wonderful week.